Welcome to the Penny Marto's podcast.
Back once again.
With three lovely hosts.
Go that far.
Two.
I won't say lovely.
Well, one.
I wouldn't even go that
Take
far.
Take your pick. So we're back again. What we're going to have a chat about today.
Well, this is all very mystical, isn't it?
It is.
Well, it's about things from the unknown.
Planets and sky.
That stuff that flies in the sky.
And little green men. Mekons. The works.
Aliens. What we're going to do, we're going to have a look at a few specific...
Case studies,
yes, of abductions. No, I mean, we've not delved deep, have we? Some would say.
Do we ever?
We've had a quick browse around the... We had a few green milkshakes and... I don't know.
What we're doing is we're bringing you not your typical stories. This is all bloody Roswell, isn't it? It's all Roswell.
Well, it's hard to find out. I mean, even with our connections, you know, in the FBI and the CIA and
the MOD,
they don't want to talk. I mean, we've tried. I mean, I rang them. I rang up CIA.
Ah, I can imagine.
Try and get a bit of insight. Well, they were, you know, tight-lipped.
Bastards.
You know, loose lips sink ships, as they say.
Well. This is the issue, isn't it?
Maybe there's been a few of them on the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the trouble with these bloody secret agency officer types.
They're all too secret.
They don't talk, do they? They don't give out away.
No.
They keep it all bottled up. And it's all special handshakes and the bird flew over the mystical winter.
The thing is with people who say they've been abducted and, you know, probed or...
Probed?
Took about a minute to get there.
Yeah. Inspected. Full medical
MOT'd.
Are you a man getting probed, don't you?
Well, you know, I bet they've got some good gadgets up there at Saucers.
But backside, isn't that? Why?
I bet they've got all kinds of gear.
Next generation dillies.
Yeah.
Like a thingy, like that special screwdriver what Doctor Who has.
Yes.
A sonic screwdriver.
Lights and stuff, what flashes.
Get your sonic screwdriver out, lads.
Opens all kinds of portals, that does.
There must be a market for, like...
sci-fi sex toys.
Well, I was thinking more sex toys with like high voltage lighting.
Oh,
you know, so you can illuminate people from the inside out.
That wouldn't be so bad, would it?
Shut your gob, I can't see a bastard thing.
Yeah, trademark. We're having that.
Concentrate. Yeah. Like, I thought you were going to say, kids, you know, like people that are into like. Heavy into the sci-fi, role-play and
outfits
stuff.
And
like
that.
Cock and balls, but the balls are between planets.
Yeah.
I can see it like that.
Or like Harry Potter ones that are like...
With little capes on.
Like Jap's eye probes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
Come on now.
Right down the Japper.
Leviosa, and it just... Regarde Leviosa.
And then the penis goes up.
I'm standing strong.
No, I might look into setting up a little business. So.
Yeah, sci-fi sex toys or
no,
just illumination.
Just illumination from the inside out.
You have to.
Imagine if it exploded.
Will it? All safety things will be in place.
you couldn't do that on a battery, though, could you? You need 240 volts.
I don't know. Lithium ion's opened up an whole new world.
Plug her in, love. Bloody hell.
That'll get us standing up straight.
I can see your fallopian tubes.
Bloody power cut again. Where's my torch? I don't know, but your mum's a lumina. Anal illuminas in top drawer if you won't get that out.
My butt cheeks are alight.
How'd you turn it on? You have to put it in.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
You have to finish the circuit.
waddling to fuse like box like, with like... a probe up your ass.
Bend over.
Only seeing through your mouth.
Check the light.
Upstairs with gob open for lights up work fuse boxes.
Be like one of them lucky toothbrushes where you just put it back on the stand. You just put like your partner back on the little stand to light them up.
Yeah. We charge your mother up with the power of magnets.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff you can do.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It's magic, it
is. I'll follow up on that. I'm glad we had this little conversation.
I feel like slightly enlightened, no pun intended.
Hey!
You will do.
Wait till this podcast finishes,
Wait till they get Gandalf's staff out.
See, we're coming up with a range already.
Oh, I'll tell you what would be a good one. The from Indiana Jones. And you know the one with the crystal at the top, and he puts it in, and when the sunlight hits,
oh right, yeah, it lights up the room.
So you can pop it up, and then but you've got to stand in right place in garden, and all of a sudden,
it's like one of them light shows, a massive beaming light yeah. you see.
Yeah, it's a market for this.
Very
innovative. Isn't
what I've found looking into certain abductions, if the aliens are out there abducting people, do they target a certain type of person? Because, you know, the people that say they've been abducted seem to be a certain type of person.
I know what you mean.
Well, there's a stereotypical deep south of America hillbilly hick type, isn't there?
Yeah. And do you know what I mean? They're all nutters.
Well,
that's what I'm getting out to, nutters. Yeah. So is it only nutters that get abducted, or...?
Well, you might say that, but I might persuade you otherwise.
Oh, here we go.
When I tell you all about my alien abductee.
Yes.
Who I've been researching in depth.
Oh.
So, let me tell you.
Oh, yes. I'm all ears.
I'm going to take you back 37 years.
37 years.
More or less. To November 1980.
Ooh, not that long ago then.
Now, 1980 was a very busy time for UFO activities. And wham.
Because of all them big phones with massive aerials causing bloody havoc with all communications.
Well, that'll be it.
Sending signals.
Making waves. Wham were making big waves in the 80s.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. And then speckly shits.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Andrew Ridgely's synthesizer was sending messages up into the sky.
There was a lot of synth then, weren't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has got that alien-y electric feel about it, hasn't it? Communication.
Well, it does. It's futuristic.
Cheers.
Well, let me tell you, in November of 1980, a police officer, no less.
Oh, a police officer, so not local Catwoman.
No, not the local nutter, as you alluded to earlier, Chris. A man of good standing in the community with many years' service tucked under his belt.
Really?
Alan Godfrey was his name.
And Alan.
And he was working in West Yorkshire. More specifically, an area called Todmorden.
Todmorden.
Locals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I was being posh.
Oh, what's it?
Todmorden. Because I'm from London.
No, actually, that's interesting because it's funny that Todmorden's cropped up because it's actually meant to be full of lesbians, isn't it?
Well,
is it?
Yeah,
they are
it's
a type
got,
of
it's
alien.
Got a reputation for a very strong.
Full of rug munchers.
Full of. It's got a strong lesbian contingent.
Oh. Well, there's Ebden Bridge.
Ebden Bridge. Where is Ebden Bridge?
It's in Yorkshire.
It's Yorkshire. It's near. It's like the next place up from Todmorden.
So if there's that many, they've moved into the next village.
They're spilling out.
Yeah. So oh, it's fabulous. So yeah.
Spilling out of their oversized dungarees.
Oh, yeah. You love it, mate, yeah. Well,
isn't it? Spilling out their own size, dungarees. They sell loads of Doc Martens down there, I tell you.
Doc Martens, yeah, and
Rock Martens on market.
They sell a lot of Bics as well for people that want to shave their hair to wash. Right.
Dye, blonde hair dye. Right.
Blonde hair dye with a hint of dark root.
You don't want to generalise, but you know.
Chewing gum, air waves.
Chewing gum?
That's quite effective, apparently.
What for?
Bit of chewing gum before you go down on the rug.
All right.
To heighten the orgasmic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Is it what kind of chewing gum?
Like them.
Juice of fruit.
No, like them menthol ones.
You can't be blowing bubbles down there, especially if you've got a big thatch.
Jesus Christ, you'd have to get it in the freezer.
It'd be carnage.
It would be an absolute.
Yeah, you wouldn't eat Bic afterwards, that's why.
You wouldn't eat Bic. Get your fanny and freezer, love.
Can you imagine a pot tub of bubble balloon on a big hairy thatch?
Get your fanny and freezer. Give it half an hour, it might snap off.
Can see it now. That would be disastrous.
Get frozen peas on them. Anyway, Ebden Bridge.
Yeah, well, no. Todmorden.
Todmorden.
Or Todmorden. Well, the area around Todmorden is the centre of Britain's most active UFO area, known as UFO Alley.
Hey, fancy that.
UFO Alley.
But this was unbeknown to young Alan, the police constable.
Right.
Because he was just an average sort of, you know.
He
had
done his local research.
Yeah, well, he didn't really give a shit about aliens and that.
Right, oh, he was a non-believer.
He was just a normal, average, everyday Yorkshireman.
His truncheon was for bashing baddies' heads.
The truncheon of truth.
Not for probing.
Well, he got a call out on the 28th of November in 1980. And he got a message that some cows were running amok on the local highway.
Oh, graffitiing.
Yeah, you know, like smashing windows, robbing phone boxes, that kind of stuff. Drinking 2020.
Yeah, always at it, them dark cows.
Bloody cows. So, he was on his way, he was driving along the Burnley Road.
Was he?
Looking for the cows. Ooh, where are these cows?
I mean,
it's not exactly bloody line of duty, is it? Or whatever, you know. Popular police type shows. It's not one of them looking for cows, but couldn't find the fucking cows, could he, lad? Couldn't find them. So he gave up.
Had they been abducted?
Well,
made into cyber burgers.
We'll come back to that in a little bit. So he couldn't find cows anywhere. So he balls to this. He radios into base.
Can't find cows, cock.
Can't find no cows.
No cows anywhere.
I'm going to come back and sign off for duty now. I've done my stint. So he jumps in his little police car and he's
paddy wagon
heading along the Burnley Road when
he hits a cow.
He notices a large mass a few hundred yards ahead.
Ooh.
Now, Alan, being a local lad and having worked this beat for many a year...
Even though he didn't know about UFO Alley.
No, he didn't know about UFO Alley, but he knew that the local bus came past at 5 a.m. Taking the early morning workers to their job in the town. So he thinks, it's just the bus coming towards me.
Buzz is coming.
But as he got a bit nearer to this large mass, he noticed something very strange. It wasn't a bus. It was, in fact,
a massive cow.
A diamond-shaped object hovering about 5 feet above the ground.
Oh, holy shit.
Rotating at a high velocity.
Holy shit.
Causing the bushes either side to shake on the otherwise deserted highway.
It's not the first time, is it? Hey,
they're not winning freezer.
No.
Like that.
Young Alan had not been trained
in how to deal, deal
with such an incident.
Oh my.
A massive diamond in the sky.
he was a bit struck, dumbstruck.
Dumbstruck.
He didn't know what to. But thankfully, his police training kicked in.
Right. Yes.
You know, but he's a professional officer of the law, so. He immediately reached for his radio to call it in.
Right, yeah.
But the radio's suddenly not working. Mm. Bearing in mind, he'd only very much a few minutes earlier radioed to Bay to
say, the cows.
I'm coming home, cock, there's no cows to be seen.
Yes.
So, he can't get the radio call through. So then he's like in a bit of a panic, you know, and he finds himself almost paralysed with fear at this point.
I'm not surprised.
But what he manages to do is, again, that training, it doesn't leave you in these moments of crisis. He gets his police pad out, because it's 1980, you know, no cameras are out like that. And he starts to sketch
what he's seeing.
What he's seeing.
Because now he'd have his body cam and all that, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he doesn't.
No,
all he has is a pad and a bit of paper.
Is he good at drawing? That's the question.
Well, he draws a quite an accurate picture of this. So he remembers...
How do we know it's accurate?
Because he drew it and he's a police officer. He's not a liar.
Yeah, but we don't know it's accurate because nobody else saw it.
Well, I'm going with Alan on this.
Well, we'll go with Alan.
We'll go with Alan.
He's a regular Rolf Harris.
Don't say that about Alan.
Tony Hart.
Yeah, that's better. Neil Buchanan.
Yes.
Anyway, so he, in a later statement, he remembers that the top half seems of the diamond-shaped craft.
Yes.
Remained stationary while the bottom half rotated at speed.
Ooh, that's a bit mad, isn't it?
So that's quite a good detail, because you would say that that's like giving the like the aerodynamic lift for the spacecraft, perhaps. Suddenly,
because if your bit was spinning as well, you'd be dizzy as fuck, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so it's got the still bit on the top half. And if you've got to think, 40 years ago nearly, people didn't... Like nowadays, everyone knows about like, spaceships and all that. Back then, it were a bit unknown, weren't it? You know what I mean? So he's either a bit of a geek or he's genuinely happened. Yeah. And I think it's genuinely happened. However, there was a burst of light.
Oh.
Time suddenly seemed to jump forward. And the next thing he knew, he was driving his car along the Burnley Road with no sign of the UFO.
Really?
So?
Had time passed? Because I've read a lot of that with people who say they've been abducted. Because a lot of it's brought back through like regression, hypnosis, isn't it? People who say that they feel like they've been abducted and then they'll go to hypnosis who brings all the memories back.
Well, you always see it on like Men in Black, that documentary. Yeah. They have that machine, don't they? What makes you lose all your memories?
Yeah, on that documentary.
Yeah.
Because they talk about that bug man, don't they?
Yeah.
And he's real as well, isn't he? Yeah. Yeah, I thought he was.
But, you know, a lot of people who say that they have been abducted document a massive loss of time where they'll say something has happened and then all of a sudden it's bloody tea time.
Yeah, they come round.
And then they went out for a morning stroll.
Yeah, they don't know
what they're doing. Wife's going mad. Where the fuck have you been?
Oh.
You only went to the paper shop. You've been shagging about, you, haven't you? You've been shagging about. You've been out 7 hours for a walking dog. Are you having a laugh? You've come in your pants as well. You've come in your pants. What's going on?
Maybe the...
too late. He's here now. He's been out 7 hours. He's telling me he's been probed by bloody aliens. Are you having this?
It's a last resort excuse, that, isn't it?
It really is. I might use that one next time I'm at home. Been boozing. I've just had a bit of a run-in with an alien down the road.
You can't believe it. I can't tell you what he's telling you.
He's telling me his
arsehole's the size of a coffee cup and he's got cum in his pants. Telling me he's been probed. Are you having a laugh? He's been cottaging. He's been up them bloody public toilets again. Cottaging. I've got him.
He's been probed by summer.
Yes. One of my patented dildos.
Yes. With an
illuminator.
Maybe here we're debunking many years of, you know, homosexuals in the closet going out having a bit of fun. And the only thing they could blame it on was
aliens.
Alien probes.
Yeah, well, maybe. Maybe. It's a good shout. However, young Alan Godfrey, police constable, being an intelligent young man, he stopped his vehicle and turned it around to go and examine the spot where he had sighted the UFO.
Mm.
Now, it had rained heavily that night. However, in the spot where Alan saw the
spacecraft,
the road was dry in a circle shape.
Ooh.
Bushes on either side of the road had twigs and branches snapped off.
Right.
And, you know, so that really sort of shows...
That something has gone on there.
Something has gone on there.
Mm.
Now,
right.
Alan, being a good Yorkshire lad, thinks, I'm not telling anyone there about this, you know.
Because he thinks... Yeah, he's going to take piss out of me, you know.
They're all going to take the piss. However, he goes back to the police station, where he's a bit out of sorts now. So he's like, at first he was all composed and that, but now he's feeling a bit like...
As he's playing over it in his mind.
He's a bit confused and he's like, he's really like, he knows he's lost time.
Yeah.
He definitely knows he's lost time. He notices that his boots are split at the bottom.
His boots are split? What, with his toes out? Or
no, like...
Or
no,
like a homeless man?
No. No, his toes haven't grown.
Are his shoes talking at him or what?
His toes haven't grown.
Oh, I've got sandals on.
What's happened is, he's gone out in his perfectly good police issue, robust boots.
Right.
And when he's come in, the soles have been like peeled away from the bottom of the shoe as if he'd been dragged.
Oh.
Which is a strange thing to have on your boots.
Yeah.
And also...
Do we need have flip flops on either?
He notices that he has got a constantly itching foot.
Oh, wow.
What's going on?
Well, I can't tell you how. I wish I could.
It's got to be.
It's got to be aliens.
They're renowned for it.
It's got to be aliens.
They're renowned for it.
He's got athletes.
whipped into spaceship next minute. He's leaving with athletes.
Oh, God. Oh. That lad needs
a pedeg.
He's got a pedeg. That's what he needs.
He needs a pedeg.
Pedeg and some blue talc.
Talc?
So-called moisture up.
So even though... Like, he's got all these things now, he's still mulling them over in his mind. He still hasn't said a word to anybody. Mm. However...
Except his gropidist.
Later that morning, a report is made by a member of the public, independent of Alan.
All right, so, yeah.
Rings in the station and reports seeing a bright light descending into the same valley shortly before the time where PC Godfrey... had his incident.
Ooh.
Now that's a bit.
It's a bit weird.
You know,
it's a bit strange, isn't it?
I'm not saying it's Arthur or Martha, but
yeah,
you know, not right.
We can't tell you that down there, right? Anyway,
it's an independent,
regular.
No, exactly.
Also, to corroborate young Alan's story, a driver who had been out on the Burnley Road a few miles further on reported seeing a brilliant white object. And rang it into the police.
Ooh,
so that's two. So
that's
independent
three.
Witnesses plus Alan.
Oh. Interesting.
Interesting.
So young Alan, encouraged by these other reports,
comes forward.
He decides to, you know, file an official report himself because he thinks, I'm a police officer, it's the right thing to do. That very same morning, he gets a report from a colleague telling him that the cows have mysteriously reappeared in the field where they were, and there is no sign of a broken fence or hoof marks in the soft soil showing them to have been out of the field.
What's going on here?
So they've whipped all cows out, and what, the bit of investigation popped them back?
Well, exactly. Well, there's a lot to be said about this interbreeding, isn't there, between aliens and animals and humans.
Yeah. Because they seem to have an effect on animals, don't they, as well?
Yeah.
Like, they go a bit...
They get all flush.
Yeah, they do. They get all flush and go a little bit doolally.
Now, the last thing that I must tell you, one further police patrol... from a different police force, so down road
to the side of Valley
in Halifax, bloody hate them, Halifax, soft cocks. They'd been on a stakeout looking for stolen motorcycles in the Calder Valley,
right,
and had witnessed a brilliant blue-white glow descending in the valley towards Todmorden.
Oh my!
Shortly before Mr. Godfrey experienced his encounter, this then gave four independent stories to the same event. Now, encouraged by all this, Alan's in. He's saying, "Look, lads, I've got to tell you.
Happened.
This is what happened." So he files a report and he thinks nothing more of it until a few days later, his boss or somebody, I can't say exactly who, does a bloody press release to the local paper, causing a furore.
Oh.
Because they're all thinking they're getting aliens in bloody Todmorden.
And half of them are thinking that Alan's a bloody nutter.
Yeah. So, Alan's a bit bloody upset because they do a full release. They don't, hide his identity or anything.
Yeah.
You know, so he's
Picture of him going out at morning, getting paper, like, putting bags in bin.
Like, looking sheepishly at the camera.
Yeah.
He's fucking his slippers. Go, yeah. The cock just poking out. Blown open in a gust of wind.
Or his tartan slippers.
Poor Alan.
PC probe.
So, he just tries to let it play down. He does a couple of interviews on telly and that. Just thinks, you know, I just want it to blow over. And the local UFO bureau from Manchester do a formal investigation.
Fancy that.
Now, at this time, Alan has got no more conscious recall of the events. Because putting his report, everything that he can remember, and that's it, you know, and he says, no, that's, I can't tell you anything else, I'd be lying, you know, I don't want to make stuff up. So they say, well, would you be willing to go for some regression? So he goes, go on then, I'll give it a go.
I'll give it a whirl.
You know, you've got
what's worst that could happen?
He's a bloody sceptic Yorkshire man, you know. He's not looking for fame and fortune, so... he agrees to it in the end. They ask, can the UFO group ask, can they record the session?
Yeah.
But Alan refuses. He says, you can take notes. He said, but I don't want it going on tape. Which...
He's worried that they're going to be like, I cut my fingers... And you're a chicken.
Yeah, well, I'm
so dicking around with him.
He's like, they're going to film him.
They're all laughing their cocks off.
No, it's way
next
before.
Next minute, on YouTube. You know, PC it's... Probe doing the chicken.
It's way before bloody Paul McKenna and all his mob come along.
Pecking for corn in back of a pub.
You know what, these, but they're up to no good, these bloody hypnotist people. Yeah. When I click your fingers, you will bend over.
Yeah, so,
yeah, and you will take your pants off.
And come into my eyes, come into my eyes.
Sit on my illuminated dildo, the dildo.
So eventually.
So he does the regression.
8 months after the initial incident, he agrees to be regressed by a Manchester based psychiatrist.
Ooh.
Of reputable standing. So under hypnosis, PC Godfrey. He gives out some of the details. So he says, first thing he remembers is the bright light that in front of him. He stopped the car, he reaches for his radio, but it's filled with static and he can't get a message off. He starts to draw what he sees, and then by a blinding light, he loses consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Then, so he's saying this all within regression.
So this is under hypnosis now. Then, the next thing he recalls is being in a strange room.
Ooh.
It's a bit like a house, and it's complete with an unexpected large black dog.
Really?
Flipping egg. unexpected as well.
Yeah, just a bit like a house. A large dog and a picture up wall of
some local farm.
Was it not a cow?
Yeah, it might have been a cow. Remember the cows were the aliens?
Yeah, you see.
He then remembers that he was studied by a heavily bearded man. Who did not speak, but telepathically conveyed his name to be Joseph.
Joseph?
Hey!
Now, he describes Joseph as having clothing that was kind of like biblical in nature, you know, so a bit like robish.
Yes.
Robes.
Interesting.
Assisting Joseph were several small robot-like creatures. And Alan quotes saying about being... the size of a 5-year-old lad. With an head shaped like a lamp.
Big-headed bastard.
So I think, you know, looking back at this now from modern times, he's describing the Greys, isn't he? Really?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Little body, small, bulb-shaped head.
Yeah, yeah.
So then he was asked these questions telepathically by... Joseph, he just asked him a few questions. He doesn't really say what it was in the research. I think that's probably been redacted because it was too sensitive. But he was not subjected to any probing.
Ah, so no physical.
As is common in America.
Yes.
So where they take like bodily fluid samples and rectal probes.
Well, a lot of the people that are abducted say... male abductees always say that there's like a cup that goes over the penis and with like a wire that goes down. These are people that go through regression and then they ejaculate and they always feel like, oh God, but apparently they're always told that don't worry, it's all part of the process.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is all through regression. People don't like remember it immediately. Yeah. But it's weird that all the stories do... marry up, you know, between different people.
If all the aliens knew how to say, here's a bloody copy of Fiesta, go in that cubicle and sort yourself out, lad. It's much easier, wouldn't it?
You really have to ask. Why have I went fancy cup?
You don't need a worm.
Just give us a bluey and I'll be right.
Yeah. Unless the doctor gets a kick out of it and he's bloody tugging one off.
Well, that's probably it. It's CD.
Getting the probing, tug one off.
Christ.
Although they don't have bits, Greys, do they? Not in the modern day pictures of them.
They've just got a little, like a flattened...
like a bulge.
Yeah, there's no evidence of dangly bits.
But who knows?
Yeah. So that was really the total of the details that we can get hold of from Alan's regression.
Right.
Now, the people who did it said he was refreshingly honest.
Yeah.
He said, like, he wasn't bullshitting or trying to embellish or anything. Yeah. He just said what he saw. But I think it's clear that something did happen to you, to Alan. Because he's not, like, made a great big hoo-ha story of it.
Yeah, front page,
you know.
Take a break and all that biz. Get a few quid out at job. It's very interesting, isn't it? Like we were saying, the stories like this seem to marry up. But like you said, that's the stereotypical story that's told when greys are described.
Yeah, they're always wanting so what kind to of, sample
it. What is it? There's greys, isn't there? What was that?
I don't know. Lizards.
Lizards.
Meekums.
Are the greenans?
There's them like Norse ones, isn't there?
Yes. I mean, we don't claim to be well in the know when it comes to UFOs.
No.
And aliens. But I suppose he's describing this scene that, you know, in his head, he might have watched a film and, you know, it's things that you've picked up, that you don't even think about consciously. Mm. The subconscious mind is very powerful.
Well, I think he was abducted. And it's... Just to add a bit more weight to Alan's story, it would appear that Todmorden and the area around it is a hotbed of alien activity, with major encounters taking place. Other investigations are not far down the road is a place called Rendlesham Forest.
Ooh.
Where other
such activities,
such sinister and creepy activities have taken place.
Other sightings, including, as Paul mentioned, the Rendlesham Forest Lights incident of December.
This sounds good.
I know. December the 26th, 1980. So it's the same year as, you know, Owen Allen.
December the when, sorry?
December the 26th, so Boxing Day.
I'm just going to put this out there, you know, December the 26th, Christmas it, and we're talking about lights on trees. I mean, I don't want to poo-poo, but...
I should think you don't want to poo-poo.
I really hope you don't. There's a time and a place. Sick of you.
Well, can I say, this is almost exactly a month after Alan's incident.
Oh, yeah. Is it? Also,
and in a similar area of the country.
It is, yeah. And it was reported... So this is near all the RAF bases at Rendlesham Forest, and that's in Suffolk. It's the Suffolk coast, so, yeah, really close to Todmorden, as we've specified. Now, the authorities insist there was nothing going
never.
On.
Oh, there never is, is never. There?
But a lot of that's, you know, reported to be a massive cover-up and so on. And they said there were no risks to national security, but witnesses were on duty servicemen that were out at all hours... And they report some strange goings on of this evening.
Yes.
Even now.
Again, it's not fucking hillbillies like in America. It's it's British people, like American people, not people, you know what I mean? Like law people, professional people.
Professional people, okay.
Not hicks and hillbillies. Right, okay. And six fingered Yorkshire folk.
Inbreds, basically. Let's just put it out there. But even now, it must be said, there's even requests for more details on this and still being made under the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, because shit went down. Really
serious shit did go down. So I'll set a scene. So it was late December 1980, and there was a series of reports of unexplained lights near Rendlesham Forest. Now, it has been claimed to have been linked with claims of UFO landings around this area and around the UK at this time, as we've already heard. The event occurred just outside RAF Woodbridge, so it was like where the RAF base camps were and, you know, as I say, lots of servicemen knocking about. And they were used by the time by the US Air Force.
Oh, which, so interlinked with the Yanks.
Yeah, yeah. So it was actually a US personnel that reported the first initial sighting at Rendlesham Forest. And his name was Colonel Charles I. Holt. And he...
Stop!
Halt!
Bloody hell, trying to do the march all the time.
Can you
halt! Bastard!
Him landing a plane.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Halt! No, I said halt! So he claimed to see these things and he described it as, you know, as a UFO sighting.
Yeah.
So it's most famous claim UFO events to have happened in Britain, this one. And it ranks among the best reported UFO events worldwide as well.
Ooh.
So it certainly puts Suffolk on the map.
Oh, we're up there.
But it says the sightings have been explained as a misinterpretation of a series of nocturnal lights. Fireball, Orford Ness Lighthouse and Bright Stars, because Orford Ness Lighthouse was quite close by.
This is bollocks. They said, these lights have been attributed by astronomers to a piece of natural debris seen burning up as a fireball over southern England at that time.
So this
what
is
what a lot of old shit that
so
is.
So this is that's the statement from the
officials.
Yeah. Alright.
So
how often do you see natural debris burning up into a fireball in the sky?
Well, they're trying to cut it all a cover up in it. They're talking shy basically.
Of course it's a cover up.
Brush it under the rug.
So I'll set the scene. It's the 26th of December, Christmas the day before. Yeah. People going out in the fancy dress because it's Bocky Day.
Dressed up as aliens.
Yeah, they might have done.
Lights and trees,
like I said. Yeah, Bocky Day. So, but the time, well, actually, it would add up. It's around 3 a.m. as well.
Oh, so they're pissed now on the way back.
No, but these are official army chaps. They're not on duty.
Like a drink at all.
Still a piss.
Might have a little hit flask.
You
can't be wankered.
It'd be cowed, wouldn't it? So you need a bit of something warm the cockles.
They need a whiskey, don't they? And it's at this time that Holt he's on security pole near the east gate of RAF Woodbridge, and he saw some lights apparently descending into nearby Rendlesham Forest.
Ooh.
So like a clearing of these trees.
Lampers. Exactly.
Lampers, that's what it is, right after bunnies. Well, originally they thought it was an aircraft crashing.
Right.
That's all
right.
One of
the
things.
There was panic.
So they went to investigate the lights because they thought it might be a plane crashing.
Right.
Yeah, but alas, no. So the servicemen initially thought, it was a downed aircraft. But they actually went into this clearing of the forest to investigate, to find that it was actually a glowing object.
Mm-hmm.
Metallic in appearance with coloured lights.
See? It's a spaceship.
And as they attempted to approach this object, it appeared to move through the trees, and the animals on a nearby farm went into a frenzy.
Well, they're getting all excited, eh? We're in for some action tonight.
Yeah.
We're gonna get a good fucking tonight.
Yeah, woohoo!
Pigs are grunting.
Yeah, I wonder if he's a pig or a cow man.
Any goats?
Donkeys kicking tin baths and all that business.
It's not Mary Poppins. Oh, it's a jolly holiday.
Little House on the Prairie, Chris.
The Brolly Probe.
And Mary Poppins for grown-ups.
So one of the servicemen, he was called Jim Pennington. He later claimed to have encountered a craft of unknown origin. And while in the forest, although there was no mention of this at the time, and there is no corroboration from other witnesses, but he's said to have experienced something untoward.
Yeah, but everyone else saw the thing going into the forest, didn't they?
Yeah, true. Yeah. So,
just because they weren't close enough to actually see the spaceship.
So is there quite a few servicemen turning up at this?
Yeah, so there were a few blokes, you know.
And the local police turn up as well.
What's going on?
So it was shortly after 4 a.m, so we're talking about an hour after the initial incident.
Which is pretty good when you've got to brush the crumbs off your tuna.
Yes.
And
that's,
middle
that's
at night,
decent.
So it's toast,
yeah.
It's not a pasty.
Yeah.
A bit of jam.
Yeah.
Fucking jam on my shirt.
Pie. Pork pie jelly everywhere.
Oh.
Then they were called to the scene, but being, the bent buggers they are, they reported only that the lights were actually the Orford Ness Lighthouse, and that's all that they could see.
Yeah. Well, not a surprise.
So you reckon there's been they all saw it next minute, all in office. Listen, boys, you didn't see out. You didn't see out. Do you understand?
The
Queen
truth is, they turned up an hour fucking later.
Yeah.
So yeah, the only thing they could see was the lighthouse because the aliens had flown away.
So what went on in that hour, nobody knows.
No, exactly. We don't exactly. It was a void of time.
Mm-hmm.
So after daybreak, and I'm not talking, the breakfast TV show, I'm on about actual daybreak.
The
so
mornings.
Susanna Reid dashing through.
Well, they were all a big fan of Susanna Reid, so they watched a bit of daybreak. So, but then after daybreak, after they found out about what the local
text in for that competition. Oh. You can win an holiday and 10 grand in a minute. Text in. It's a piss easy answer. It's text in.
How much? How much for a take part? £8 a text. I bloody sent 5 this morning.
Yeah, but you'll win, you'll win, you'll win. Do it every day, every day.
You've got to win eventually.
Yeah.
You have.
You could have bought a fucking bastard car back time, I won it.
So it was actually after daybreak, as we've said. The servicemen returned to a small clearing near the eastern edge of the forest.
What?
And they found three small impressions in a triangular pattern.
Oh.
As well as burn marks and broken branches on nearby trees.
So what does that tell you?
What does that tell you? Yeah. And so at this point, they're shitting themselves and thinking, oh my God, you know, yeah, what's going on? Has my brain been, have I been brainwashed?
Yeah.
Where's time gone? Am I a real person? All that jazz. And then it's at 10:30 a.m. with those thoughts in mind that they call, you know, the Rozzers again.
Oh.
Again, these police are definitely not happy about being disturbed from mid-morning snack.
Mid-morning buffet.
No. And they were called out again, and they saw the impressions on the ground.
Right.
And their argument for this was that it was made by an animal.
Yeah. Oh.
It's a fucking three-legged animal,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, them three-legged triangles.
Can blow fire. Can blow fire.
I've seen that. It's brilliant, isn't it? That is.
I've seen
we
them.
Cannot be arsed.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of them. We've no record of any animal. Yeah, but it's just an animal, isn't it?
Just an animal.
Do you
an
know
animal.
How much paper we have to fill out for a UFO sighting? I'm telling you, Sean, it were a fucking animal. And if you say otherwise, see this truncheon? It's got a fucking up the arse ticket on it.
One-way fuck ticket.
Off.
The fast lane to Wainwright sunshine.
That's what's happened there.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I think these servicemen are extremely bemused. They're thinking, oh my God, like, we can't, what are we going to do? The police won't
police
take
are rubbish.
Us on. You know, what are we actually going to do? So, Charles Holt.
Holt.
He gets all of his comrades, all his fellow servicemen.
Come on, lads.
Come on, we're going back in. We're going to sort this. And in the early hours of the 28th of December, a mere 2 days after the incident, they took radiation readings.
Oh, interesting.
Holt's taking it into his own hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's not pissing about
got
this
his
lad.
Geiger counter thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So oh, it's off the scale.
It's off the scale. So they take these radiation readings in the triangle of depressions and in the surrounding area using an AMPDR.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the old AMPDR
27. I've got one of them in garage.
Yeah,
I've not
yeah.
used it in
the
years.
One them, the
one of them military.
26.
I can't, where have I put it? I think he's next to Old Flossander.
The 26 were rubbish.
Yeah,
well, the 27
the 26.
Model, much better.
Yeah, it kept cutting out all the time.
Yeah, you couldn't get your Geiger's ears, Geiger's there. You were all over.
I was going with Geiger, I kept getting Radio 1.
Yeah, I mean, it happened at 26.
It were a piece of shit. I'm telling you, I sold mine on eBay. Got rid.
Anyway, they've taken these readings on this, you know, this radiation survey meter, that one that you sold.
Yes.
And the significance of the readings they obtained, it is disputed, but, you know, they were a bit up and down.
Well, they will dispute it because they don't want you to know the truth.
Yes.
But so they'll just say, oh, no,
oh,
it's
no.
That's that background level radiation, that's
yeah.
on. We all have that.
Exactly.
But it's off the scale, sir. No. Background
standard.
That's good old British radiation,
yeah.
that. Oh, you softy fucking yank radiation you've got. Proper radiation, this stuff.
So
we're in the tougher stuff, us lads.
For any of you listeners that are interested, Holt recorded the events on a micro reset recorder and we can listen to this on YouTube.
Oh,
so if you fancy it, have a little listen. However, it was during this investigation that a flashing light was seen across the field to the east, almost in line with a farmhouse. Mm. So as the witnesses had seen on the first night, the Orford Ness Lighthouse is visible further to the east in the same line of sight, but as, you know, similar to where it was seen originally on Boxing Day, it seemed a little bit strange. Now, according to Holt's memo, three starlight lights were seen in the sky, two to the north and one to the south, about 10 degrees above the horizon.
Ooh, so very low flying.
Yes, and Holt said that the brightest of these hovered for 2 to 3 hours and seemed to beam down a stream of light from time to time.
Yeah. So that's not normal, is it? It's
no,
not.
No.
It's not a shooting star. It's not a plane.
Not
an helicopter.
It's
very
low.
It's not burning. It's not bloody meteors. If they're staying there for 2 or 3 hours,
which spots
I mean,
out.
That's
not
how long it takes to bring a cow off.
Exactly.
2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
They're in the size of a cow's clitoris. It's like a rugby ball. It's a two-handed job.
Moving
they
on
do
from
seem,
there.
They do seem to be very sexual, these aliens. When you get in, they love a bit of nookie, don't they?
Yeah, well, they have to go to Co-op and buy 72 bottles of baby oil before they can get on these aliens.
And gloves. But guess what the astronomers said?
What? What did the astronomers
guess
say?
Guess what they said? They said these starlight lights were just bright stars.
Oh, they're just bright stars. Like.
Bright stars.
Yeah, bright stars then.
Bollocks.
Bright stars then.
So it does seem whenever it comes down to any kind of alien experience and UFO sightings that there's always people in there to naysay.
They're always experts and they always have the same rubbish explanations like it was
star,
it were falling debris, you didn't really see it. So it was very mystical.
Mystical if you ask me. All
very
these
mystical
trees.
And it didn't really come to a definitive conclusion. So Holt files his report.
And nobody really pays any attention.
Well, no, they kibosh it. They put it under the...
swept under the rug.
They don't want anyone to make a bit of a fuss about it. So, that, you know, they sort of try and, you know, hush it all up. But there are a few little outpourings from the case. So the official police stance was that... it was the animals who did it all.
Oh, they're bloody animals again.
The animals are at it again.
It were nothing to do with aliens, and it was attributed to animals. So, I don't know what these animals are up to. They're very clever animals.
They should go walking around with my heels on.
Blowing fire, according to the authorities.
The Ministry of Defence, they did have a substantial file on this incident, which was... again, redacted and suppressed.
Oh.
Some of it has been released, which shows correspondence between the British government and the United States government. So, you know, quite high-level stuff. But anything that specifically related to what might or might not have happened, again, you can't really get your hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
Secretive stuff. And then a couple of other explanations was that it was a downed Soviet satellite.
Oh.
So you got to remember at this time,
yeah,
you know,
the Cold War.
Yeah.
The Cold War was bubbling, wasn't it?
You know, and it could have been that a Soviet satellite was coming over and the British government...
took it down.
Took it down, suspecting it as being a spy satellite.
And
it landed in the forest and then they...
cleaned up.
MOD and the...
But why would an army officer?
Well, you've got to see there's only certain levels of clearance, aren't there?
Yeah, I suppose.
So if you're like bog cleaner.
Yeah, but then surely you'd just be told, you know, listen, this is what's happened. You wouldn't be. You wouldn't
no, but
be banging
if
you're
a truth
about,
seeker.
You wouldn't be banging on about aliens if you were told, oh, listen, it were a satellite, we need to keep it hush hush.
No, but you who said he got told that?
Well, no, I'm just saying.
You can't say that, can you? He might truly believe it was a UFO,
yeah,
but the top brass actually know it was a spy satellite what they shot down.
Ah, yeah, let him believe then that it was, maybe it was...
What's a better cover-up than...
Yeah.
Don't listen to old Alty.
Yeah.
Seeing aliens.
Oh,
you know, a lad likes a drink.
Yeah, lad likes a drink. He's always watching bloody X-Files.
He's a bloody lighthouse, that lad. He's a bloody lighthouse. He's bloody pissed again, isn't he?
One important point to make is, do they not remember the Spice World movie? Because that means that aliens are real, because the Spice Girls saw them and they went in the spaceship.
So
as far as I'm concerned,
and they were on a buzz, which I believe was also mentioned in the earlier story, so
exactly.
You know, it's all coming together.
One final thought to leave you with was that a former US military policeman came forward claiming responsibility, saying he was just driving around in the forest in his police vehicle, flashing his lights.
With his disco lights in back. He had a disco buzz, the lad.
Did he have a Venga buzz?
He had a Venga buzz. He was driving around the forest with Venga buzz. He had old lads in back.
Playing Club Lando Night.
Oh, they were loving it. But obviously, cover up. Well, yeah, we're supposed to be on duty, can't we? I'm pissed on Venga buzz. We're going to get fucking strung up here.
Doing skid mad.
Tell me a UFO. I'll do it.
Make of it what you will, but I think that's our second confirmed alien sighting.
Well, let's see what you make of this then. Because, again, I'm in the UK.
Ooh.
We're looking at the Gateshead Grey. But we're going right back this time to 1940.
Yeah.
We're going way back, 1940. And this is a story that is told by a gentleman, and he apparently stuck to the same story for many, many years. You know,
so it's facts.
Never veers from the fact, well, his facts, over the many years that he's told the story. The gentleman in question is called Robert Hall, and he was only five at the time. He was only five.
Hang on a minute. He's 5 years old.
He's 5 years old.
When this happened.
When this happened.
So very reliable.
Yes.
Okay.
He was five, but...
Child of innocence.
Child of innocence. Now, you've got to imagine it's not like these days where you're worried about pedos and all that stuff. Kids are out on the street playing.
Oh, well, get out. I don't want to see you till gas lamps are on.
Oh. So, Robert says he was out with his mates, and 1940, obviously, war-torn. There was a parade on. Well, not a parade, but the soldiers at the time were marching.
Like North Korea. Show us strength.
No, it wasn't a parade as such, but the soldiers were marching through Gateshead.
Nothing like on the way to somewhere.
Yeah, where we don't know. Somewhere important.
Covering up alien.
Well, maybe. So, Robert and his mates were sat just watching the soldiers going past as you would as a 5 year old. And he said after a couple of hours he got a bit bored.
Just keep going past.
Yeah.
They're just going round block.
Maybe that was a show of importance again. Like, bloody hell, how many would
got
20,000?
Make it look, like, make it boost confidence levels. Keep going, keep going.
You're just going to cul-de-sac and turn it round again. Anyway, him and his mates decided to wander off doing what. And what you've got to imagine, they lived in Bentham in Gateshead, which is very close to Newcastle. You know, that working class area. It was a coal mining area. It was said that it was like a terraced house maze where they lived. You know, it was streets and streets, back alleys, more streets of terraced houses. And they turned up one of the back alleys. And as they were walking up, he said it was weird because you couldn't see to the end of the alley. It was daylight, but he describes it as being like, you know, when you're looking at a fire and it gets all wavy from the heat.
Yeah. Ah, yes, and little sparks and stuff.
And he was saying it was almost like an invisible wall.
So there's like a heat haze effect.
So
like a cloaking device on a spaceship.
Yes.
Like a cloaking device on a spaceship. Because as him and his friend walked through, there was 18 to 19 figures stood that grabbed them. They took hold of them. Now, this is, I mean, I was surprised because it's very similar to our earlier tale.
Or to Alan.
To Alan. He said there was one big gentleman, dog-like, he described
him. Oh, yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
As a Bigfoot. He described him as looking like a Bigfoot that was stood there. And then all the others changed in height. Some being very, very small. Mm. Some being, but only up to 4 foot. But then with the big dog-like character.
Oh, gosh.
Now, he said there was a large glowing ball with a small ball in front of it.
The like big, a disco ball?
Like a lighter dildo?
Yes, maybe, some would say. Now, he said that the Bigfoot gentleman took hold of our Robert and said to him, we'd like to ask you some questions, we'd like to examine you. Ooh. Now, Robert said he really wasn't scared. And he said, yeah, fine, no
problem.
Was
there a local celebrity and a councillor present as well?
Well, possibly. Possibly.
Police chief.
He said he wasn't scared at all and he went inside the smaller ball with the Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said when he was in there was another gent who was tall. He said he had long blonde hair and robes.
Ooh.
Like what you're saying
it's
before.
It's weird, this, isn't
biblical-like it? Biblical-like robes. And he, again, was talking to him through
telepathy.
That's the one.
He said that they didn't do anything. There were no probing.
Oh, that's good.
They did take blood sample from the back of his neck.
Oh,
that's fair enough. I could cope with that.
No,
they've not got any old hand down the five knuckle shuffle.
The thing is that it wasn't just Robert there. His friend was there as well, but it's claimed then that a number of other children walked up the alley and saw what was going on. They saw the ball, they saw they came through the wall, and then they all started to scatter, running off, running around
leg
the corners.
Leg it!
Like someone had smashed a window.
Yeah.
Leg it!
Apparently there was a bit of a kerfuffle, in which time Robert had been released by
the giant hairy man
and the guy in robes with long, beautiful locks. He also ran, at which point the parade's going on. So soldiers, apparently Robert went up to a soldier and told him what was going on in the corner. He's like, bugger off, what are you on about? He was like, seemingly you could see the panic in his eye. And he came around the corner, to which the soldier saw the light ball and the figures in the alleyway. Okay. He then proceeded to pull out his pistol and shot. It's then said that the craft simply disappeared.
Oh, how exciting.
In a flick of light. Robert says, like, there was at least like 19 of these beings there. Some very small, a bit like you were saying before, like small robotic kind of creatures. But they all disappeared at the same time as well. So it wasn't like they had to, bloody hell, leg it, get up, machine.
They disappeared themselves.
Yes. Now, the soldiers disappeared. You know, nothing was ever really spoke about again.
He's probably got a shot in war, isn't he?
Robert went home, told his dad.
Fuck off.
Told his neighbours.
What other one?
Apparently Robert was telling all his friends and family and everything what had happened.
Don't talk like that, Robert. They'll think you're a weirdo.
Exactly. For a day later, his eyes were watering. They continuously water. He had a triangle impression on his cheek.
Ooh.
That didn't leave him until he was into his teens.
Oh, my God.
It's just like a red impression. Now, you know, nobody would believe him or anything like that. However, the story doesn't end there.
Oh, because at the minute, I'm not decided if he's a victim of a UFO or the victim of some paedophiles.
A paedophile ring is what I thought.
So,
well,
can you sway me further?
Two days later, Robert was walking to the paper shop for his dad, picking up local rag. He said he turned up an alley very close to the same alley that he had his incident.
He's a brave young fella, isn't he?
All of a sudden, stepped out in front of him was a grey. Right. Tall, gangly, alien-like figure that we'd now know, see with a bulbous head, gangly.
Ooh.
Long and thin.
Robert says he just turned and legged it. And he said he was a fairly fast runner, even at 5 or 6.
Yeah.
This alien comes chasing after him. Robert's shitting himself. He is shitting himself. He's running like fuck. Anyway, he gets to Robert and he's screaming. They're here again. Bloody aliens are here again. He gets to his front porch, screaming his head off, at which point his Uncle Ernie steps out and smashes this alien over the back of the head with a coal shovel.
Good lad, Ernie.
Go on, Ernie, lad.
The alien's on deck. Oh, he's out cold. To which Ernie doesn't stop. He pounds him again on the head with the coal shovel, smashing his brains in.
How about Ernie thinking, what the hell's this? He's bloody German. He's a German.
This alien's out cold on floor. He tells Robert, go get local Bobby. Old Sergeant Brooks, he won't be knocking off yet. Go and get him. Robert runs down to the police yard, sees Sergeant Brooks, because everybody knew Bobby then,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah.
He's killed it, he says. Sergeant Brooks, what are you on about, thinking he's killed somebody?
Yeah.
No, the aliens are back. Oh, come on, I've had enough of this, Robert. No, come here, Uncle Ernie. Anyway, apparently, Robert says that Sergeant Brooks went to his house, and there was the alien on the floor. Ernie's still there with his shovel standing over the top.
Just came ready to twat it again.
Now,
poised.
Apparently the policeman had a word with Ernie and told Robert to leave immediately. Robert, however, refused to leave. He just stood back because he'd been telling people for 2 days that he'd had this experience with aliens and nobody would believe
it. Taking him on, poor lad.
Now, he says that his Uncle Ernie and the Bobby proceeded to put the alien's body in a coal sack and then dragged it into a nearby coal shed.
It was a simpler time.
Why? I just know.
Because you have
just
to
pull
it,
the body out of the way.
Keep it out. You don't want to upset bloody...
20 minutes later,
women,
a number of black vehicles turned up.
Oh, it's the MIB.
and the body was, told you it was taken a documentary. Into the back, but then stored locally under the local church in the cellar, and apparently was there for 3 months before one day it just disappeared. Now,
fuck me, that's a bit eerie.
That's really creepy, isn't it?
Robert, you know, I've glazed over it there, but he said that after the body had disappeared, he was visited by a number of officials.
I bet he was.
A number of gentlemen in black suits came and interviewed him, as well as a high-ranking RAF officer, all of which interviewed him and then told him that he must remain quiet about the incident, and if he was to speak about it, he would be murdered.
Oh. And
well, you could easily do that to a little kid and shit him up, couldn't you?
Well, yeah.
And because of, like, the war, people were dead nervous.
Yeah,
yeah,
and compliant, really.
Yeah, they were just only wanted to do the right thing.
Very compliant. The blackout as well. You've got to think about the blackout.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Nazis were well in with the aliens.
Yeah.
Well, there is that. Do you know what else makes me think as well? Unlike, you know, our Alan, who's had a similar experience to poor Robert... 1940s, there were no telly with aliens on, were there, or internet with aliens on? So where's his subconscious group from?
That, you know, the alien... Well, I mean, people generally believe that the aliens have been, throughout time...
Built the pyramids.
Well, built the pyramids. I mean, if you look at, like, religious imagery from different parts of the world... and they're very similar, you know, with similar-looking
gods. It marries up with a robe idea as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And old clothes.
So there are theories that, you know, the people of the hierarchy, whether it's the Illuminati or the NWO or whatever you believe in, that they've...
Is that different to the NWA?
No, same.
All right. Oh, so they were a rap band.
Yes,
they were. Noir.
Well, hey, don't be confused by the influence of rap these days.
Noir and noir.
Noir and noir.
You know, they've been in with aliens for years, but we're not ready for them yet. We're not ready for them. So slowly they're integrating the aliens within popular culture and movies and not ready for the big introduction.
Drip feeding it in, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, they better hurry up, because we'll all be dead.
Well, I mean,
we'll all be dead next
maybe
week.
They tried it in 1940s and they got a fucking coal shovel right back ahead. So, you know, proof's in the pudding, we weren't ready.
Ernie weren't ready. I mean, you've got to think, in Ernie's lifetime, he's seen a fucking grain hit it with a coal shovel. He'd probably have born in a fucking mud hut.
Exactly.
Brought up on a cinder playground, eating raw turnips. I mean, lads had it tough. Well, can't be introducing fucking aliens.
So there we go. Three little nice tales about aliens, UFOs, abductions.
Sightings.
Little green ghoulies.
On a serious note, though, we will all be dead, so you better download this podcast pretty soon.
I don't think any of us have got much longer left.
Well,
you know?
No, because that mystic lady from Romania, she's foretold the coming of World War III, hasn't she?
Oh, has she?
And I think it's the 17th of May.
Oh, is that when it's happening?
So it's only a couple of weeks off.
Oh, put that in your diary. I get tins in.
Well, they're all at it, aren't they? Saber rattling, old Trump and bloody North Korea.
That's
and all
it.
That. And
getting out local. Get
Russians.
Bottle water in, a load of tins.
I loved it. Like, some British politician this last week said, we might be tempted to do a preemptive nuclear strike on Russia. And the Russian guy, in response, said to him, with one bomb, we will wipe out your entire country. Kind of puts it into perspective, don't it, you know?
Just like that.
Just like that. Send my dad's
harder than your dad.
Yeah. We bomb Russia, we might wipe out a small town. We'll wipe out your whole country.
We have the aliens on our side.
Yeah, they do. Well, the Nazis had them for a while.
So they say...
Adolf went on holiday to Argentina.
Yes. Cocked it up, did he, by taking a midweek break.
Spent too long in his submarine. Couldn't get through to him. So there you have it.
Aliens.
Fact or fact?
Fact or fact? Oh, they're definitely out there. Definitely.
Definitely. There's definitely something. They've tried contacting me.
Oh, I have. Yeah, they're out there. I've seen them. They've lollies and all sorts, don't they? They've got marketing.
That's
alien,
pedo.
Alien eggs.
They're real.
You. Yeah.
That's real.
Where's all that money going for that? Yeah.
Just the space program.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's branding, isn't it? It's branding.
Yeah.
It's all,
they
it's
know
all
what
marketing.
They're doing. They know, it's all marketing ploy.
You know,
they're not. Which thing the flying saucer toffee's profit goes
exactly.
For.
Exactly. E.T. made a bloody killing on that one. X-Files. Mac and Me.
The truth is out there.
Yeah.
There you go.
I bloody loved it. Look, sat up moon with a work wedge. Anyhow.
Thank you for listening. You can get us on Twitter at Pennymart's House. Email us off Facebook.
Yeah.
You can. All sorts of social media. We're there. We're at it.
Yeah, review us as usual if you can. That'd be dead good.
And tell all your friends.
We're in the process of making some new stickers at some point, and we will eventually distribute these to our listeners.
It's been lovely. It's been jubbly. It's been fab dabbly.
It's been out of this world.
Oh. Bye.
Bye.
Ta-ra. I'm sorry.